There are so many things in our human relationships that we can't solve. Leprosy was one of those in ancient times. They didn't have a cure for it. They thought that it was highly contagious. It turns out it wasn't that contagious, but that's what they thought. They didn't know anything else to do except have them live apart outside the camp. And so there developed over time this kind of elaborate system where you would go to the priest and the priest would proclaim that you were in fact unclean, and then you had to wear your beard in a certain way and you had to always have your garments rent and shout unclean if anybody came near you. I mean, it's just kind of a horrible thing to do to a human being, you know. But they didn't know what else to do. In our pandemic, we isolate people. In the Middle Ages, during the Black Plague in Rome, they put everybody on an island in the Tiber. And the Latin and Italian word for island is isola. And so isolation became the term we still use to this day. There are things physically, in terms of illness, that we don't know how to solve, and so we just do what we can. But there are things culturally too. I mean, there are cultural isolations, not just illness. Racism, class distinctions, sexism, you know. There's inequality and alienation built into the human culture because of original sin. And people don't feel as if they have a worthiness from God that is more than any human esteem could be, and so we look to feel better than somebody else, and so we look for somebody that can be worse off than we are. I think it's kind of in human nature. Just yesterday, I was wasting time playing Hearts on the computer, and I had a really bad hand, and I got so many points, but I thought to myself, well, at least I didn't get as many points as she did, you know. And it's just innate in us, I think. But God comes into that human situation of alienation, sin, illness. All these things are symbolic of the worsened condition of humanity. And Jesus steps into that situation and rights the wrongs and casts out the demons and heals the illness and restores community. So when he cures this leper, he's also restoring him to the community. He can now live in the camp. He's not ritually unclean. He can now go into the temple. And so Jesus tells him, go and do the ritual things with the priests. That'll be enough for them. Okay? That system was a way for people to feel secure or insecure officially. So when the priests officially declared this person unclean, then everybody knew to stay away from them. But when the priest declared this person now cleansed, then everybody felt secure in rejoining them to the community. And so he's telling him, follow the system. Do the proper ablutions. Get yourself ritually cleansed so that you can enter the temple again, so that you can enter society again. So Jesus not only heals his physical malady, but he heals his cultural malady at the same time, restores him to the community. Now Jesus does these things in a way that is kind of like an exchange. There's another gospel story in Luke where Jesus is entering a small town called Nain, and just as he's coming into the town, a funeral entourage is on the way out of town toward the cemetery, and this young man has died, and he's the only son of a widowed mother, and so it's a destitute kind of situation. From then on, she's going to have to become a beggar because she doesn't have a man in the household to take care of her. And so Jesus and his entourage meet them at the gate of this town. And Jesus steps over and touches the coffin, and thereby making himself ritually unclean. It's against the law to do that. And for good reasons, you know, contagion. Jesus makes himself ritually unclean by doing that. And he raises the young man from death, restoring him to his mother, restoring her to life. So two people get raised from the dead in a way there. But Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die. So it's God exchanging, taking on our death so that we can take on God's life. A similar thing is happening in that gospel today. Jesus makes himself ritually unclean by touching the leper. He takes on his uncleanness so that the leper can take on the cleanness of God. It's a wonderful exchange, and we're the beneficiaries of that. We have been healed by Christ's death and resurrection. He has taken on our death so that we can take on his life. That's what salvation is. And so the first thing we need to do in our prayer and in our conscious life is to recognize that and to be grateful for that and to never forget that we owe everything to him. But then secondly, out of our gratitude for that, we visit that same healing love onto each other. What makes us able to heal each other in difficult situations, you know, whether it be class distinctions and racism or illness or whatever it is, things that the human community can't seem to resolve, we recognize that in Christ, we can resolve those things. We can do miracles because of our association with Christ. And so one of the ways we celebrate that is here at Eucharist. We take on Christ. We eat him and we drink him. We take him into our bodies and we go into him. He comes into us so that we can go into him. And strengthened by that, we have the power to do amazing things. And St. Paul has been talking in the letter to the Corinthians last Sunday and this Sunday about taking on the weakness of others, because that's what Christ did, becoming all things to all people, because that's what Christ did. So Paul gives up his authority and status as a Pharisee, as someone comfortable in his own religious experience, and lets go of all that and becomes the itinerant preacher just like Christ, with nowhere to lay his head, taking on voluntary poverty and risking and suffering beatings and ostracization and all those kinds of things so that he can save at least some of them. And he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul draws his strength from Christ, and so do we.